Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
Well, we are rolling right into the holidays. Tomorrow starts Hanukkah, for those of you who celebrate the Jewish holiday. And right around the corner is Old Saint Nick coming down the pipes there. I don't know about you, but I actually am feeling pretty good about the holidays this year. I got 90% of everything I need done. But isn't it amazing how it's always the last 10% that drives you crazy? Like that one gift that there's always one person you just can't figure out. And I wonder who that is on your list. This year, it's going to be a little different for me. I actually have final exams as I round out my 2 years of getting my MBA. Oh, I was decorating the Christmas tree thinking to myself, this will be the last year that I'm actually taking final exams during the holidays. And is it going to be nice next year? And it's so funny because my kids are also studying for final exams. And when they come and they whine at me and they're like, oh my God, Mom, I got to study again. And now I just look at them and I'm like, I feel in your pain. I feel your pain firsthand. And it's amazing how that whining all stops because they really can't come back with anything else because they see me studying as well. But isn't that the way? We are examples to our children. I want to tell you that we have a great show lined up for you today, and it's brought to you by Premama. Premama is the fertility and lactation formulas that you can actually mix into your juice, into your water, get all the vitamins that you need in a little drinkable packet so you are not choking on those big old horse pills. Definitely a product you need to check out, and you can find it now on the shelf at CVS. And it's also available online at drinkpremama.com. So as we go in the holiday season, we're going to tackle the things that matter most. That is family, our weight, and our finances. And as we go into the new year, we're going to keep that theme with us on Mom Talk Radio, because after all, those are the three things that either drive us crazy or make us the happiest. But for now, when we return, we're going to turn our focus to Marine Toy for Tots Foundation. It's probably something that you see as you're out and about shopping this season. And we've just had Give Back Tuesday. So it actually kicks off a season of giving. And after all, that's what the holidays is all about. So when we return, we're going to be talking with the president and chief executive officer for the Marine Toys for Tots Foundation.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
As many of you know, I'm the mom of a West Point soon-to-be graduate, and so I love the military and all things military, and I'm really excited today to get to support and have on with us a representative from the Marines Toys for Tots Foundation. But he's not only just someone representing it, he is the president and chief executive officer for Marine Toy for Tots Foundation, retired Marine Corps Lieutenant General Pete Osmond. And we are excited to hear how in this season we can give back, and welcome Lieutenant General to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, Maria, it's my pleasure to be there. And let me congratulate you on your son. I think that's wonderful. I salute you for that.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. And thank you for your service. So Toys for Tots, a lot of us see it out there as we're shopping and running around and we're kind of consumed in our own chaos, but we might not understand what's actually behind Toys for Tots. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, the Marine Toys for Tots program has been around for a long time. In fact, the first campaign took place in Los Angeles, California in 1947, the initiative of a young Marine Reserve major. And he and his Marines collected and distributed about 5,000 toys that Christmas to war orphans and other less fortunate children. Well, over the years, that program has grown dramatically. And this year, we're actually conducting 789 campaigns in big cities and small towns all across our country. The mission is very simple. Through the gift of a new toy, help bring the joy of Christmas and send a message of hope to America's less fortunate children. That's what it's all about. And so over the years, Marines and our wonderful volunteers have collected toys locally and then distributed them locally to the less fortunate children in their communities. And that's what we try to do each and every Christmas.
So how do you find the families that are in need?
Well, the local coordinator obviously has to use a little initiative, but generally speaking, they will go to other social organizations in the area that maybe have identified families that are, you know, say, you know, receiving food from food banks or that kind of thing. They go to churches oftentimes and ask for folks that they know that they support in the community. So there are a variety of ways that a local coordinator can identify those families that need help. And if a family feels like they need help and don't know who to turn to, if they go to our website, they can get a hold of a computer, go to our website, you can see, you know, how to receive a gift for my child, and then that we can get them into the system and make sure that they're not overlooked.
And this year you actually have some help from a NBA legend that we know well, and would you like to tell everyone about that?
Sure. I think we all know Shaq O'Neal, a famous basketball player, you know, great TV personality. Well, this time of year, Shaq takes on a different persona. He becomes Shaka Claus, and through the good offices of one of our major corporate sponsors, Toys R Us, he has for a number of years now become Shaka Claus over the holidays in order to help promote the Marine Toys for Tots program, to remind people that if they don't step up to the plate, you know, purchase a toy, drop it in one of our barrels, or make a donation, that some child could go without at Christmas time. And Shaq knows all about that because, unfortunately, when he was growing up, there were times, he said, when there were no toys under the Christmas tree. So he has a real thing about this and worked really hard in order to help shore up and support our campaign.
So as we are out and about, what is the best way for us to take part and to help contribute to this wonderful cause?
Well, you know, as you're out doing your Christmas shopping, particularly in shopping malls, you'll find one of our donation barrels there. Purchase a toy in, you know, department store, your favorite toy store, drop it in the barrel, and if you do that, you've done what you need to do. That is great. If it's not convenient to go shopping and you like to do your shopping online, you can come to our website, which is toysfortots.org, press the donate button, and find a convenient way that you can make an online donation that will be used to purchase toys in order to help support and supplement local campaign efforts.
Well, that's really fantastic. And I just wonder, as the years have gone by and you started small, do you find that there's more and more families that need your help every year?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And, you know, to be honest with you, Maria, when I came to the Marine Toys for Tots Foundation, it was just as the country was beginning to enter into the economic recession that we experienced. I was concerned at that point that the donations would fall off, that corporate sponsorship would be reduced and whatnot. Well, to my surprise, very positively, donations continued to come in pretty much at the same rate. And the corporate sponsors continued to support us as they had in the past. The challenge became the increase in demand. We had many more folks asking for help than we had in the past. Not unsurprising, many folks that were hit by the recession lost jobs. Parents were, a number of hours reduced at the workplace, that kind of thing. So people who had, in the past been donors all of a sudden found themselves having to ask for support. So we had to really redouble our efforts, during the recession to support those additional numbers that came in. The other challenge has been that even though the economy has begun to improve, not all of us are realizing that improvement. And unfortunately, it's the lower socioeconomic groups that continue to need support. And so the demand continues to be high. And, of course, we continue to work very hard in order to try to reach that demand.
Well, I want to make sure that I get this in again, that you can go to toysfortots.org if there's not a collection facility or a place in your community and you do want to take part. And you know what? There's so many sales going on now where it's buy one, get one free. You know, why not give that free one to Toys for Tots? And then it's really, or donate two, you know, so that
great
you can
idea,
even
Marie.
Do
I
a
like
little
that.
Bit more. Yeah,
yeah, that you're exactly right. Yeah, and it is toysfortots.org to make that online donation. And I can guarantee your listeners that if they donate money to the Marine Toys for Tots program, it's going to go to buy a toy. We have very, very low overhead. I can promise your donors not one dime goes to pay anybody's salary. We're here to do one thing, and that is to try to help bring the joy of Christmas and send a message of hope to America's less fortunate children. And we're able to do that only through the generosity of the public. And I can guarantee the public that if they donate, it's going to go to the cause.
Yeah, well, it's a great cause. So thank you so much. And you know that I'm just biting my tongue since next week is the Army-Navy game, not to like kind of just mention it a little bit to you. But I know who you're probably rooting for, so... I'm not going to go there with you, and I have been on the losing side for the last 13 years. So,
yes, it has been that way. But you know, they're all great young Americans that have stepped forward during tough times. You know, they're all heroes to me, and it doesn't matter what uniform they wear. The fact is, they're doing it because they want to, not because they have to.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for giving of your time in so many ways. You've just about given your whole life to our communities, and thank you for that. And now with the work with Toys for Tots. And we're going to have a link to Toys for Tots on Mom Talk Radio. So if you're driving in your car or you've got something in your hands with the kids and you just weren't able to write it down, we just go to Mom Talk Radio or follow me on Twitter, and you will find us there. So thank you so much, General, for sharing some of your time and your dedication to families in the United States. Thank you so much. When we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on one mom who's running a lifestyle blog, but the lifestyle might be something you don't expect. Super excited to have with me today one mom who actually has followed me for almost 20 years, which is just a scary thing because I can't possibly be over the age of 40. So she started listening to me when I was very, very young. But she's done some pretty amazing things herself. She's gone from the corporate world to being a writer and maintaining a lifestyle blog. That's pretty cool. She's the mom of a 14-year-old and an 8-year-old. Her name is Hillary, and her blog is hackscrap.com, and I'm going to let her tell you all about it. So welcome, Hillary, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks, Maria. It's so exciting to be here. Like you mentioned, I stumbled across you years and years ago in a Working Mother magazine, and I've been a fan ever since. So this is really... really exciting
full
for
circle.
Me.
Full circle. It's all come full circle.
So I have a lifestyle blog, and it's my name, Hillary Chubinsky, and you can find it at hackscrap.com. And it started really back in 2005 when I somehow had more time on my hands, and I was a big scrapbooker. And a lot of the big names in scrapbooking at the time were starting blogs on Blogspot or on TypePad, and I thought, well, that's cool. I could do that. I'm pretty tech savvy. Now I do a little tech at work. So I thought, what the heck? I'm going to start a blog. And if you go to my blog and go back to my very first post, I think it's something like two sentences that say, hey, I'm going to give this blogging thing a try. Right?
And
Mary?
Now
right,
you're
now
one
I've
of those.
Come a long way.
So what would our listeners find there now?
Well, now I've really kind of come full circle, and you can find a little bit of everything. I have two regular weekly posts that are pretty popular. Every Monday, I post up my weekly meal plan, because I firmly believe that planning your meals, even though it's a drag, can save you time and money, and who doesn't like that? The second regular post appears on Wednesday, and that's kind of a combination outfit of the day and fashion tips. I am a middle-aged mom, and I love my yoga pants as much as the next mom, but some days we have to wear real clothes, and it can be a real bear. So I like to give pictures of my favorite outfits of what I'm wearing now and give real women real ideas of things they can go grab in their closet without hopefully buying something new.
I was just wondering, have you gone over to Periscope to do any of those fashion, you know, glimpses into your life?
I haven't done fashion on Periscope. I've played around a little bit on Periscope. I will say it's not my favorite. Right now, Instagram is my favorite.
Okay, okay.
So I'm still trying to find a good, because I do love video. I have a YouTube channel, and I like video. I've been told I make a lot of faces. It's very real. I'm keeping it really real, Maria. But so I haven't fallen in love yet with Periscope. I'm still kind of experimenting.
If you don't want to wear yoga pants, what is like your go-to outfit as a mother?
For me, it's skinny jeans, and I am not a skinny girl, and I never thought I would say that. I am a curvy girl. And after much trial and tribulation, because we all know that jeans are almost as hard to buy as bathing suits these days, but finding the right pair can make a difference. And I finally stumbled upon a pair that I love. I think they're from Ann Taylor. And I wear them with sweaters in the fall and winter. I love them with tunics. They look great with flats. They look great with boots. And in a darker denim, they can look dressed up. In a lighter denim, they can look more casual, and they're great for sitting on the sidelines for lacrosse.
You know, I tend to agree with you. I think if you find, like, it's one of those things like a good bra. You have to, you know, stop
Absolutely.
Buying them at wherever, right? You can't
yeah.
wear, like, Levi's. You have to go and actually find good jeans. Like, for me, it's Lucky jeans. And, yes, it costs maybe a little bit more money, but they fit me nicely, and
right.
I can wear them like a pair of pants, whereas
exactly.
like, I don't want to look like I'm going fishing. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it's so, an investment. I mean, good pieces should last you a while. And I pull pieces out of my closet. I laugh because in my posts, I'll call them vintage. I have a pair of espadrilles from J. Crew that I've had for 20 years.
Oh, my gosh. So I would love to keep talking, but unfortunately we're out of time. But before we let you go, Hillary, can you let everyone know again where to find you on your blog?
Absolutely, Maria. I'm at Hackscrap, that's HACScrap.com.
And we will put a link on Mom Talk Radio as well. Well, don't let it be another 20 years before you come back to Mom Talk Radio. It was great
Absolutely.
Talking with
Thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Well, and we will definitely have you back, and it won't be 20 years. So thank you for joining us today. And when we return, we're going to talk to one woman who is doing some pretty amazing things after she had graduated from Harvard.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
One of the things that I feel, and I've always said that, moms and dads do really good things with our parenting styles and discipline and creating good habits. But the one place that I always feel like we don't do well is around money. We don't like to talk to our children about money. We don't like to talk to it about it with our spouses. And what happens then is that we raise children in a whole generation, in fact, who aren't comfortable with money or does not have the knowledge to get ahead with their income. And I'm really excited today to have with us Jane Huambo, who has done pretty amazing things. She owns a company called Money School with Jane. She's empowering people to make better decisions, and she brings with her a lot of experience. She graduated from Harvard. She's worked in the industry, and now she's using her talents to help better the communication and the learning around money. So I want to welcome Jane to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. So let's talk first of all about millennials, because millennials are the next up and coming generation. In fact, about a third of them are already entering into their 20s, and there's some in their 30s now. Why do they seem so lost when it comes to finances?
I think in large part what used to happen generationally was that at school you learned about personal finance. Someone actually taught you the basics of how to manage your money. They taught you how to write checks even, and it was a course. And with all of the budget cuts that have been happening across the country at every school, unfortunately, these days it's tough to even have a nurse there in case something happens to a child, much less having somebody there who can teach the kids about their money. So I think this is something that has recently become a phenomenon. I've noticed that you're absolutely right. The millennials are a generation where truly there was no money that was allocated to them understanding and learning about finance. And so, that's really the issue I'm trying to address.
And don't you also think, though, that they're a generation that's leaving college, moving back home with their parents? And in some ways, I wonder if their boomer parents don't kind of, I guess, want to keep them from being financially secure because they enjoy the millennial being at home.
There could be a little bit of it. Obviously you always see your child as something you want to, someone you want to protect and keep close to you. And but I do think that, there are a couple of issues here at play. Millennials have seen their parents do their finances in a certain way. They've used financial advisors, they've gone to the big banks, and then they lived through the financial crisis and a very significant recession. And I think that there is a bit of mistrust there as well in terms of, do I manage my money the way my parents managed their money? I know my parents all bought homes when they could, but maybe it's not for me. Maybe right. I'd like to rent, or maybe I'd like to, live at home and save money. And all of these are, I think they're actually really great questions for the younger people to be asking. I think one of the things that I'm finding is that as a society, I mean, this is just inevitable everywhere. We really value traditions, but unfortunately, certain traditions are very expensive financial investment decisions. And mm-hmm. I think it's great if the younger generation asks questions. Well, does that fit what I want to do with my life? How do I make my finances work for me? I think there are a few things going on.
So how do the millennials better manage their money?
Well, they don't have as many choices, unfortunately, because what I found is that a lot of young people, because they don't even have the basics of personal finance down, they don't even know how to properly manage their money and accumulate it in such a way, in a process-driven way, so that they can, for sure hire someone who they can trust, who would be a finance manager for them, or they have to deal with a robot type of advisor because that's what they can afford. But many of these kids aren't even getting to the point where they can afford to begin things like investing or compounding their wealth. So, I think it starts with more knowledge and education.
Right.
And, and then we go from there. I think it's incredible once that knowledge starts to come into play, technology advances and people find ways to you know, help people find their goals or make their goals, you know, in terms of execution. But the problem, I think, right now is that the basic knowledge is missing.
So we just have one more minute, but a lot of our listeners are moms that have younger children. And I'm just wondering, what advice could you give them to better prepare their children for financial decisions as they get older?
I think there are two things that I could point out. One is, instead of creating a dialogue with your child about money itself sort of as an end goal, I think it becomes a much easier conversation and open when you ask them what their dreams and goals are, who they want to be when they grow up. Do they want to help people? Do they want to teach? Do they want to become a marketing guru? And then you create a financial plan together, parent and child, that can allow that dream to come to fruition. And I think that is something to keep in mind as a parent. And I know it's sort of opposite from, you know, oh, I want to talk about money, right? And then secondly, this is very important. What is measured can be improved, because a lot of times people aren't sitting down and getting to the habit of measuring their progress, their financial progress. Right. So they don't look at it. If you don't look at your bank statements, you don't look at what you're spending, you don't have a plan, then unfortunately, you know, you're opening yourself up to, you know, financial risks in the future. So I think knowing that you need to create new habits where you are measuring your progress so that it can be improved over time is crucial.
Well, really good advice. And you have much more advice at moneyschoolwithjane.com. Thank you so much for sharing some of it with us today. And we hope that our audience will know and want to know how important this financial information is for their family and want to visit your site, moneyschoolwithjane.com. Thank you so much, Jane, for being with us today. And when we return, we've got the author of Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am delighted to have with us today Karen Eamon. She's the co-author of Hoodwinked, 10 Myths Moms Believe and Why We All Need to Knock It Off. She has also authored several New York Times bestsellers, including Keep It Shut, What to Say, How to Say It, and When to Say Nothing at All, and Let It Go. She is very well known all over the TV circuit and radio circuit as well. And we're excited to have her here on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Karen.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. So one of the things that your book focuses on is that women today are bombarded by false ideas of what it means to be the perfect mom. So what are some of those ideas that we just shouldn't be clinging to?
Well, sometimes it's old-fashioned ideas from the past of what the perfect mom was, you know, who vacuumed in her high heels and had a hot meal ready for her family and never had a crossword with her children. And then sometimes in this day and age of social media, we're bombarded with images on screens all day long of Pinterest perfection and gourmet foods and all of these, you know, from scratch DIY projects. And we're just trying to figure out how to get a frozen pizza on the table for our families. So we have all of these things from the past and things from the present telling us what a good mom is. And sometimes it can mess with our mothering.
It certainly can. So I want to just call out some of the myths and get your feedback on them, some that I thought were really interesting. I am just a mom.
Yes, like, that's one, you know, not only stay-at-home moms struggle with, but I think they probably mostly struggle with it. But for those of us that, you know, really take our mothering seriously and, you know, maybe we aren't at a place where we're going great guns in our career, we've pulled back a little bit, or maybe we're at home, we can get this line of thinking that says, oh, I'm just a mom. I'm not doing anything important. I'm not contributing to society. I'm just a mom. Anybody can do that job. What I do doesn't matter, but it does matter.
Well, here's one that I sometimes I forget in a weak moment. my children's bad choice means that I'm a bad mom. I mean, I can tell you how many times I've said, how did I raise someone that keeps their room looking the way it did? And then I find a way to blame it on myself.
Oh, yeah. And I think all moms struggle with this, whether it is a toddler who's throwing a temper tantrum at the grocery store or a teenager who gets called down to the principal's office and then you get that phone call telling you what they did, or maybe it's an adult child that's made a bad choice and maybe even broken the law. We moms get our identity so tied up in our children's behavior and their choices, and we need to stop doing that. We need to not tether our identity, you know, the core of who we are, to our children's choices, whether they're stellar and they do something great or they're stupid and they do something wrong. Their choices are their own. We, of course, should be there to model making good choices and to guide them back on the right path when they've made a bad one, but not let it just trip us up and make us feel like we're failures as moms if our kids do something wrong.
Absolutely. And what about this one? Motherhood is all-consuming and all-fulfilling.
You know, that's kind of the opposite myth of the I am just a mom. You know, I am just a mom says, oh, what I do doesn't really matter. But then sometimes we put all of our eggs in the best mommy ever basket, and we think that being a mom is just going to be so fulfilling, and it's just going to be something that brings us contentment, and it's just going to meet all of our needs and just make us just feel like this wonderful fulfillment and joy all the time. And that doesn't always happen either. You know, motherhood is full of tireless, thankless chores that we do over and over and over again. And sometimes it's not fulfilling. Sometimes it's downright awful and mundane. But we need to learn that even though sometimes we don't enjoy some of the tasks that come with motherhood, it doesn't make us feel fulfilled, we can still enjoy our children. We can still love our kids, even though we don't always love some of the tasks that come with being a mom.
Well, we only have 1 minute, and I would just like for us to talk about this one is the way I mother is the right and only way. And I think sometimes moms, we get so judgmental with each other. The way you parent isn't the end all be all for every family.
Yeah, and I fell into that one very early. And what I did was I boxed myself in because I only surrounded myself with other mothers who thought the same about me as far as, you know, cloth versus disposable, breastfeeding versus bottle feeding, work at home, work outside the home. And what we do is we build a fence. We erect a fence between us and other mothers rather than build a bridge to them and become friends with people who do things differently than us. We're missing out on a lot of great friendships when we box ourselves in and think we're doing it the only and right way.
I want to let everyone know where they can buy your book. So where can they find it?
It's available on Amazon and brick and mortar, you know, bookstores. If you go to a physical bookstore, or they can head to my website, which is KarenEhman.com, and Eman is spelled E-H-M-A-N.
And I bet you spell that a lot, don't you?
I do.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Karen, for being with us today. And this makes a really, you know, if for the holidays, you maybe have someone in your family who is a mom and, you know, maybe a mom of a younger child, this is the perfect book, because although it's good for moms with older kids, it's just a good book to remind people that it's a journey. So thank you, Karen, for being with us. And when we return, we've gone through the archives and we've taken a memory back from last year that we just thought was so relevant and valuable that we wanted to play it again this year. An issue that will definitely come up probably this holiday season, and you're going to want to know how to handle it, particularly with your significant other. So we're here to talk about money with Scott and Bethany Palmer, aka the Money Couple, reviving marriages and helping couples agree on finances. And they're here to join us today. They're the author of the book, The Five Money Conversations to Have with Your Kids at Every Age and Every Stage. So you might want to pick that up when you're out there holiday shopping as well. But welcome, Scott and Bethany, to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you for having us.
It's great to be here.
Oh, good. So it is really a gift to have you here. And Let's start with the big one. What do you do when you and your husband don't agree on how much to spend on Christmas? Because that's an argument that sometimes peeks out in our house. One believes in spending a lot, and one likes to be a little bit more frugal.
Well, absolutely. That's the fun thing about the five money conversations to have with your kids at every age and stage is that over the last 10 years, Bethany and I have really worked with couples on how to make their relationships work better. And we discovered this huge need for parents, including ourselves. We have a 13-year-old and 11-year-old. And really, how do we help and how do we discover what parents are worried about? And well, your question is great because for most parents, as we're going in this holiday season, we're worried about three things. One of us is worried about making sure that we don't raise entitled children. One of us is wanting to make sure that we don't have kids that are materialistic. And we're also worried about that we don't want our kids, especially when they're older, to be financially dependent. And so that's a great question that you asked, because during this season, when we're buying so much and we're exchanging so much, parents fall into a lot of those three categories as far as, you know, how do we make these decisions? How do we come together within the back of our minds, worrying about the entitlement, worrying about the materialism, and worrying about creating financial dependent children?
You know, what's really interesting is that really we find that children between the ages of 5 and 12 is where they really start to learn that entitlement. And teaching them and navigating them away from having that entitled feeling is just crucial. Then when you go to age 13 to 17, that's where the materialism, we really see that show up. And then last but not least, 18 and beyond, that's where that the learning and they start to become financially dependent on you, and trying to teach them how to not be and to be actually financially independent is absolutely crucial. So what we've done in the past where we think, oh, if we teach our children to how to put a perfect budget together and those kind of activities, those kind of things are great, but they aren't working for each child. Each child looks at money very differently, just like you said about Christmas at the beginning. You know, some parents want to spend a lot of money, some don't. How do you get on the same wavelength even with your spouse? But then also your children, they look at money so differently. And so that's one of the things we're really excited about in the five money conversations to have with your kids at every age and stage, is because we break it down by those three age groups, but also we provide for you a free assessment inside of the book where you can actually have your kids take a money personality assessment and learn their perspective of money. A money personality is how you view money, and there's five of them, and everybody has two of the five. And you'll be so surprised at how different your children's money personalities are than your money personalities. And then you're able to help navigate them through to the five conversations to have with them.
And so is it too late if you have a 13-year-old that is feeling entitled right now? Like, what do you do about it?
So you have to have the conversation that basically says, hey, these are some parameters, these are some boundaries that we're going to put in place. We're going to, you know, make sure that you really understand how money works and what we're looking at. I mean, we have a 13-year-old, and it's okay to sit down with them and say, let's talk about entitlement. Let's talk about materialism. Let's talk about the real value of a dollar.
Yeah.
And we deal. My 13-year-old came up to me the other day and said, Dad, I'd save some money, and I'm going to buy a kayak.
There you go.
Like, well, we live in Colorado. We don't even have puddles out here for you to kayak in.
Well, but we're going to have to get the rest of that story on your website. The website is themoneycouple.com, and there's you can go to the website and find out if the kayak ended up in Colorado. Thank you so much, Scott and Bethany, for being with us today. A lot of really good stuff. You should pick up the book, because the one thing we don't teach our children about is money. So check it out. And check us out online during the week in between our shows. Add Mom Talk Radio on Twitter. You can go to our website and download any of our shows. Download the free app. We love seeing you here, or we like being with you during this hour, and we'll see you again next week.